Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. This is the ESPN Chicago Hard Knocks recap brought to you by ComEd Electric. And J-Mac, we got episode 5.
Yeah.
Ooh, tough moments in that episode. Some tear-jerking moments, shall we say. Yeah, you know, we saw Ryan Poles have to pull away a little bit even. Some moments where, listen, like you've said, some guys saw their last time on a professional football field, and then other guys will get an opportunity to come back and still continue to live their dream. I thought that there were some really good moments in this episode. We got to break them all down. As always, rocking with me on the Hard Knocks recap, Jason McKee in the building. J-Mac, what's going on, my guy?
Man, it's good. Everything's good, man. Enjoyed the last episode of Hard Knocks. I'm excited about the regular season officially kicking off at Soldier Field on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. So a lot of good things in store. You know, I think Hard Knocks, I'm glad the Bears got it this year. We've talked about it week after week. A lot of good, a lot of bad. We've gave our insight every week, and we'll give our insight this week.
Yeah, 100%. I do want to address the elephant in the room here. I'm not wearing the Coach Prime glasses to look cool, because I know people are sitting there like, why the heck does Pat have shades on right now? I'm not wearing the Coach Prime glasses to look cool. Got He's some wisdom here. Teeth issues going He's on lying. Here. I'm lying. Oh,
He's lying. He's lying. When I read before he came on, I said, man, you got the Coach Prime glasses. And I said, yeah, I just got these, man. Coach Prime sent them to me personally. I'm like, Coach Prime, where's my package, man? I'm on the podcast as well.
Listen, I would tell you this right now, J-Man. Hey, I was going to buy the Coach Prime glasses because I was like, oh, them kind of hard. And then I saw the price tag on them. And I was like, I seen that same pair at Target for $22.95. Wait a minute. Nah, man, got some wisdom teeth issues going on. The lights are affecting me, so I will survive. I got the one injury for somebody that talks for a living that actually can affect you. So, yeah, man, I'm playing through the injury. That's how we got to do out here in these football
streets. The glasses look good. Your background looks good, man. We're going to do it. And I know you're going to push through because you're a warrior.
Oh, that's how we got to do it. Hey, let's get to our ComEd Electric moment of the episode brought to you by ComEd. Let's start it off with a word from our sponsors at ComEd, though.
Yeah, more businesses across Northern Illinois are partnering with the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program to save on energy costs. Get started with a free ComEd facility assessment to find new ways to control your bottom line. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz.
Got to get that slash in there, J-Mac. J-Mac, what was your ComEd electric moment of the episode? There was so much good in this episode. Dare I say, this was the best episode out of the five.
Yeah, I think, man, there was, you know, a lot of the one that I looked at, right, and I'm not going to say it's electric, but, you know, it kind of reminded me of the days when I was a rookie and the vets would ask me to stay after practice and give them a look, or stay after practice and, you know, give them a pass protection look, or give them, you know, a route or something like that. And we saw that with Rome and Jalen Johnson. You know what I mean? They're staying after practice. And Jalen wants to work on, you know, receivers running an option route. So option route is exactly what it is, right? Receivers, it's usually in man coverage. The corner has a receiver, you know, so it gives the receiver a three-way go. You can go, depending on if Jalen's playing inside man, he may break out. Jalen's playing outside man, the receiver will break in. If Jalen's playing tight and the receiver can stutter him, stack him, which means get behind him, he can run a go route. You know what I'm saying? So it depended on how, you know, Coach Walsh was calling that option route. But obviously something that Jalen Johnson wants to work on because he doesn't feel comfortable with it. And he called on Rome to, hey, Rook, how do your legs feel? My legs are fine. Rome says, I'm not old. You know, he's like, hey, you can, just because you're not old, your legs can still hurt his training camp. But Rome stayed out there, gave him some work. They chopped it up. And those moments are huge because when you're a veteran, it gives you time to help develop a rookie, but it also gives Rome an opportunity to kind of see how corners are going to play him, get some insight from one of the best corners in the game. So those are the moments that are invaluable. Those are the moments that, you know, the reason why Ryan Poles is trying to get good guys in the locker room to help build each other, to help develop each other, because it's not always just about your own development as an individual. You're going to need not only the coaches to help you in that process, but also the players, the veteran players at that. So I think that was one of the moments I really liked in this episode.
No, that was phenomenal. I thought that it was interesting too, because like, as I'm watching, I'm like, is he trying to figure out, you know, how to spot it? Is he trying to figure out how to see it? Is he trying to figure out how to attack it? But you see, right, he's like, I just, you know, I feel like I'm playing too far back on that option. I need to play up. Like hearing him, I think people view how these guys get better as like it's a rocket ship up and then they plateau off. But seeing that, it is, I mean, Jalen Johnson, in my mind, is one of the top five DBs in the NFL. I think when you throw his numbers up there, they would say that as well. But he's still got things that he's like, I don't like how I'm playing that. I need to, like, almost not that I don't know how to play it, but I need to change how my brain is seeing it so I know how to attack it and I know how to adjust my game when I see that come up. You think that's a fair assessment of kind of what we saw out of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, you as a pro, and if you want to be one of the best in the game at your position, you're always going to work on your craft. You're never going to feel complacent, regardless of if you got paid or not. You know, he got paid a king's ransom, and he deserved it, right, because he went out there and produced. But at the same time, you know, like Jalen Johnson said all week, and he said it, you know, in the past in his press conferences, like, I'm tired of the hype. I'm tired of buying in the hype, you know what I mean? We've been hyped up every single season. You know, we go out here and we get our butts kicked. We don't make the playoffs. Like, it's about making the playoffs, okay? I got paid. Now I can go out there and play free. But at the end of the day, right, all the money that I receive, yeah, it's good because my family's taken care of forever. But at the same time, now this is about wins. This is about going on, you know, getting into the playoffs, chasing a Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So that's where he's at in his career right now. And he's getting older, man. So at the end of the day, you're going to be paid. But what are you going to be remembered for? You're going to be remembered for going to the playoffs, winning Super Bowls and stuff like that.
No, 100%. My comment, electric moment of the episode, it showed that this is a business, but when you do it the right way, it's not just a business. And it was the emotion that Ryan Poles showed when he had to cut Adrian Colbert. Now, from a player standpoint, from the business standpoint, from the logical standpoint, Adrian Colbert, if you're on Madden, is an easy player to go triangle release because you don't see the things from him that you would see from a Jalen Johnson or a Jaquan Brisker, right? Like, from a business standpoint, you understand it, but it goes deeper than that. And I thought that that was really good to show that because usually you don't see that on Hard Knocks. Usually you see guys like, yeah, you know, we're going to be releasing you here. It didn't work out. We feel like you got some talent, but at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, it's not going to work out here. You have a great life. Thank you for playing the work version of our game. Adrian Colbert was somebody that Ryan Poles not only believes in, still believes in,
right,
but that he felt had more potential, has more talent, has more ability to continue to grow in this league, but it's not at the point where the team is at right now. And because of that, he had to make the tough business decision, but you saw the emotion that he was going through because he's like, I know what this dude can be. Yep. I know the kind of player that he is. I know the energy. You heard him and Ian Cunningham talk about it, right, Nate? I asked you about it, I think when we were doing the podcast, right? Are there personality hires, right? Just the energy that he's able to bring into the building. Ian Cunningham was like, he's just got a great spirit. And you heard Ryan Poles go, I said the same thing. It's exactly what I told him. Like, when you have those guys, it's not just the, that's my guy, I want him here. That's not my guy, I don't want him here all the time. Sometimes it is the, I've got the emotional side of it, but I have to do what's best for the team. And I thought that that was something we rarely get to see out of the NFL. Usually it is, I mean, as people talk about it, and as it is, it's a cutthroat business. It is, you're good enough or you're not good enough, but there is that emotional side to it.
Yeah, and it's a matter of, like, you can also, you know, looking at Adrian Colbert's situation, I know you have a guy who's an extremely good fit in that locker room, who showed the ability to play in this league, who made a lot of plays in preseason, right? But it comes down to a numbers game. You know what I'm saying? When you don't have room, and there's a guy that you want to keep, it hurts that much more because, you know, any other year, this guy could have made the 53. But this year in particular, we brought in so much competition. You know what I'm saying? It's just no room. You know, you're the odd man out. You know, you're on the bubble. You're on the fringe of making it. We just didn't have room. And, you know, I think the good thing is when, like with Ryan Poles, like, and I tweeted this out last week during, you know, knowing that cut down day was coming up. You know, like I said, this GM, Ryan Poles, has been in the same seat that those guys were in. You know, I was there with Ryan Poles in 2008 when he was there. He was an undrafted free agent from Boston College. You know, I had been on the Bears for a while. I remember Ryan Poles in that building. And, you know, he understands you put everything into it, right? You try to develop these guys, mind, body, and soul. And as a GM, you got to sit there and say, oh, okay, goodbye. We're going to release you. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that Ryan Poles, throughout his experiences and him having to go through that same situation, dogs barking, that he actually, but he actually You know, he's telling, he gives the guys feedback of the why. This is why he didn't make it. This is what you need to work on. And that's huge. You know, that's huge giving the guys that feedback because they've put their blood, sweat, and tears into making this roster. They've given you their all, and it's good to give them feedback of why they didn't make it. So that way they can take that feedback, go back, work on their craft, and have an opportunity to make another team or to come back next year if they're invited back to camp and possibly make the 53 for the Bears.
No, 100%. And I think that's the part about it too, right? Ryan's like, listen, we wanted you here. It's a numbers thing at the end of the day, right? Like, but if we could put you on this team, we'd have you on this team.
Yeah.
Work on these things and let's get back to it, right? Like, it doesn't mean that it's the end of the road. I think that's always, you know, that's the part where people don't see, right? You're not going to see the part where Adrian is still working. You're not going to see the part where he's still trying to make a team, right? Because the Bears may pick up the phone and go, hey, listen, we lost a couple of guys here. We need you back in the building. Can you be here tomorrow? Yup, I'm ready to go. Let's get after it. So I think that those things too, like when you look at there's so much of the football side that you don't see in these. It's so good when you actually get to see that glimpse. But seeing, you know, the time that Ryan took with every single guy to basically say that there were some guys that he's like a Theo Benedict, right? We want to put you on practice squad. We want to do this. We want to keep working with you. We saw in the previous episode with Ian Wheeler, right? You're basically going to have a red shirt year, but you're going to be around the team, right? Like those right. things to, and I think that's just logical from a GM standpoint, right? We talk about the emotional side of it, but from the business standpoint, we've gotten these dudes in here. We've developed these dudes. We've built up things in their game that is impressive about their game. And we want to be able to utilize that. We just can't do it right now. But that doesn't mean just let that guy go. Like, Shane Waldron's probably a little upset that Brett Rypien got signed by the Vikings.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. Like, seeing that.
Yeah. And to go to your point, and not to talk about Brett Rypien, like everything you said, like, that's a perfect example of why Bayless made this roster. When you look at when they were talking about Bayless as a player, right, they got all the coordinators in the room and you've got, you know, Coach Hightower talking about the value that Bayless brings on special teams. He can be a kick returner. He can cover on kickoffs. He can be a gunner on punt. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's versatility. That's value because you have one guy on the roster that can do all of those things. So I don't have to have a guy that can just play gunner. I don't have the guy that's just good on kickoff. I don't have a guy that just – don't only do kickoff returns. I got a guy that can do all those things. Now, adding the fact that, you know, we're moving to running back, and you heard Coach Eberflus talking about him, right? Here's a guy who can dent the pile, which means, right, can get those tough yards inside between the tackles. Here's another guy that has a speed, burst, and playmaking ability to get out on the perimeter and maybe take it the distance, something we saw in preseason, even though it was against the twos, but we saw that ability. And here's a guy that can do some things out of the backfield. So, you know, we talk about the versatility, talk about development. You know, Ryan Poles was saying, he even said he's alive. Like, he came to life when it mattered most.
Yeah.
He came to life when he was in jeopardy of not making this roster, right? They had to make the change to running back. He didn't complain. We even heard Coach Morton talking about how well Bayless handled the transition to running back and how quickly he adapted to it. And then Coach Eberflus even reemphasized that and said, you know what? There's a lot of guys in this league that have been playing running back for a long time that don't have the skill set that a Bayless Jones has. So when you look at that value, that's why Bayless Jones made the roster. And I'm glad they showed that interaction in the evaluation of Bayless Jones, because that's something we've talked about for years. Like, is Bayless going to make the team? Bayless deserve to be on this roster. He does deserve to be on this roster. Oh, Bayless is at running back. They're trying to find a spot for him. Bayless is the odd man out. Well, they showed you how they diagnosed Bayless Jones making the 53.
I still want to see how he's going to be used. I'll be intrigued to see how he's going to be used. They talked about him as a four-phase special teamer. I don't know if we really saw a ton of that.
Yeah.
In preseason, that fourth game a little bit more. That fourth game of preseason, we saw it a little bit more, but we didn't see a ton of Bayless being a four-phase special teamer throughout the preseason. But hey, he's on the team. He's on the 53 now. Find a way to utilize him. That's what it comes down to.
If he wants to be active, he's going to have to be on kickoff. You know, he's going to have to be either the kickoff returner, and he's going to have to go out there and, you know, be on punt return. And not necessarily the returner, but he's going to have to be out there as a corner or something like that on punt return.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Let's get into our comment moment of light, J-Mac. Your company can save money by becoming more energy efficient. In fact, the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program can help your business find up to 35% in energy savings, resulting in lower energy costs for its facilities at ComEd. We're not just moving toward clean energy, moving towards a clean energy future. We're powering the future of your business. Sign up for your free facility assessment at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. What was the moment of light for you in this episode, J-Mac? What was that moment that stood out to you above all else?
My ComEd moment of light was the Coach Eberflus mansion, the spread he has. Like, I mean, it's a lot of light bulbs in that mansion, baby, powered by ComEd. Like, I mean, it was just awesome. Like, just to, you know, I just love Coach Flus's interaction with Caleb. So let me get serious. Let me stop talking about his mansion. But, you know, the interaction with Caleb and him actually breaking down to Caleb, showing him the practice schedule and showing him how many reps you're actually going to get in practice and why, but also showing him why we're giving you all these reps, because it's gonna help aid in that development. Even though it's not a game setting, you're getting opportunity to go against our defense. So, you know, this period, this practice, you're getting 41 reps against our defense. You're gonna get another 10 reps right here on 7-on-7. You know, Thursday, you're going to get another 50 reps right here against our defense. Like, really breaking down, showing him the why and showing him how they plan on developing him. I think it's very important to have that type of communication with your head coach, who's also the defensive coordinator. So those interactions right there, you know, Caleb learning things from a defensive standpoint and how the defense may attack him and, you know, learning different nuances of coverages from the head coach, who was also the DC, is invaluable, and it's going to accelerate his development as a quarterback tremendously in this league.
Yeah, no, I think that just seeing listen, my moment of light or my portion of it, it does have to do with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
It was that moment at the end of the episode where the music cuts out and it's just Caleb talking to himself. And he's just like, focus, lock in, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, it is, it's so much of the preparedness, but then it's that, at the end of the day, it comes down to this guy. It comes down to him being able to prepare as much as you can, but can you handle what's going to be thrown at you? Prepare everything. Because here's the thing. You don't talk about Mitch Trubisky or Justin Fields like they didn't prepare. You don't talk about, right, like when you look at Jay Cutler's, when you look at the Rex Grossmans, the guys in the past, everyone prepares. Now, maybe everybody doesn't prepare the same, but everyone prepares. But when the lights come on, when the moment of is brightest, when there's that moment of light,
right?
Are you going to be able to go out there, lock in, focus, and use what you've prepared and actually be able to implement that on the field? And I think that's the biggest thing that we have coming up with Caleb Williams. I love the fact of how Flus has prepared him. I think that this coaching staff, I guess I can't say they've all learned from their mistakes, because most of these guys weren't here, right? But I think when you lock in on Coach Flus, how he's been different in training camp, how he's, it seems like he's taken a different approach having his quarterback in the building, how he's gotten this team as a whole ready for not only just the preseason games, but preparing them for the regular season. It just feels like the preparation and level that this team is at is completely different than what we've seen, dare I say, over the past 10 years. Heck, I mean, yeah. maybe going all the way back to you guys, but like,
yeah,
it does feel like they're just approaching this in a different manner, and it's actually paying off, at least through the preseason. Now you got to do it in the regular season.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Like, when you look at the temperature of this team, right, and you look at the temperature of Coach Flus's job, like, realistically, and let's be real, you know, and almost wasn't here this year, right? And get a new quarterback in, and now it just seems like he hasn't been a guy that seems stressed. He seems more relaxed. He seems more confident. He's got the beard. Yeah, he seems more confident in his appearance, but he feels more confident in his team. You know what I'm saying? And that's because, you know, they feel like they have a quarterback that can really change the tide of the team. And, you know, despite all the pressure, like, there's pressure. Like, they got to win this first game. They got to have a winning season. You know what I'm saying? Like, otherwise, his job is going to be in jeopardy again. He almost didn't. He almost wasn't the Bears head coach this year. But every time you see him, he comes to the podium, and you're seeing him around his guys, you're seeing him at practice, you don't see a head coach that's stressed, right? You don't see a head coach that has the world weight of the world on his shoulders because he has to go out here and make sure he gets this team to the playoffs. But at the end of the day, if this team doesn't win, if this team doesn't get to the playoffs, this season is a failure. But you don't see a coach displaying that type of emotion. You don't see him wearing that on his sleeve each and every day. You know, it's a complete opposite, which is shocking. You know what I mean? But the reality is, like, let's keep it real. You don't go out there and win this first game against Tennessee. You know, it's not good.
There's gonna be some there's gonna be some eyeballs on you. It depends on how you lose too, though, right? I think if you definitely need to win it, right? But if you're in a hard fought game and Tennessee comes out on top, I think that's a big difference than like, okay, we're hype. Here we go up against the Packers. We're ready to go, and then all of a sudden we're like, hey, that don't look like football. That looked like preseason football, which if you had played your players in the preseason, we might not be looking at preseason football.
The Bears fans ain't having it. You know what's going to happen in those games? So, well, you got Taylor Williams, and we can't even beat the Tennessee Titans. They freaking stink. This Coach Eberflus, I don't know what he's doing with Caleb. Caleb won the Heisman in USC. Oh, my gosh. Like, come on, man.
That's pretty good Southside Chicago right there. That was pretty good. That was impressive, actually.
I mean,
for a dude from Florida, you got that down
pat. The Bear Cubs.
Oh man, I love it. Well, listen, at the end of the day, this is it. That was it for Hard Knocks. So we don't have a segment to preview. But what was your overall takeaway from the Chicago Bears training camp Hard Knocks?
Yeah,
how would you rate this Hard Knocks on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, and I've been thinking about that as well, and how I would rate the overall experience with the Bears on Hard Knocks. And it's tough, man. There's a lot of things that I really wanted to see. There's some players that I wanted to see. You know, I felt like we kept seeing the same players over and over again. Yeah. We didn't really get to see DeAndre Swift. We didn't really get to see, you know, Keenan Allen that much. You know, there was a lot of guys, Montez Sweat. We didn't really get to see him a lot. We saw him this episode working with Austin Booker, but we didn't get to see him away from the facility. Comparing it to some of the Hard Knocks in the past, you know, it's tough because there was a lot of good ones that showed a lot more insight than I think the Bears allowed Hard Knocks to show. So I would give this, out of 10, I'd give it a 5. You know, it's like there were some highs and lows. You know what I mean? Do I think it should have the Bears on it again? I'm a Bears fan, obviously a former player, so I'm going to say yes. But if there's another team, I'd probably be like, man, give it to the other team because that wasn't like, you know, it wasn't must-see TV for me like I thought it would be.
That was my takeaway from it. I'm kind of round. I said a 6 on a scale of 1 to 10 because, like, my takeaway from it was, and I don't care about the cursing part. Like, I ain't going to lie to you. I like the fact that I can sit down and watch something Bears with my daughter. And she don't got to hear a bunch of, I don't have to watch the edited version that half of the words are getting cut out, right? Like, so I didn't care about the cursing aspect of it. I know people were like, oh, they're not swearing this year. That's a problem for me. I was like, that's a weird thing to like need in your life. Like you can't hold a regular conversation without that. But I think for me, and maybe it was this for a lot of Bears fans as well, there was that. It made you feel like the McCaskies were too involved. It reminded me of football past. It reminded me of like a lot of hands in that.
Yeah.
Right. There's a lot of cooks in this kitchen. Like HBO clearly, I don't think that this is the product HBO wanted to put out. Yeah. I don't think that this is the product that NFL Films wanted to put out. I think that this is the product that the Chicago Bears wanted to put out. And why do I know that? Because it looked like 1920 football drive that we get on YouTube, right? It looks just like that product. And that's great for a YouTube video. I love it for a YouTube video. I don't know if I need 40 minutes of that.
Yeah, there was a lot of things they didn't show. And you were at practice more than I was, Pat. But even like, you know, the fight, I get it. You know what I mean? But at the same time,
they didn't even show the fight.
Yeah, it's like you're showing the fight because it's natural. It's what happens in training camp. Like it's real. It's a real thing. Like, you know, I've gotten in fights with my teammates at training camp because you're out there, you're playing fast and physical. They're playing fast and physical, right? Something's going to happen, a little extra push after play. And then, you know, both sides, offense is fighting defense, right? Like that, it happens. But, you know, I think those are things you got to show. If you're really giving a deep inside look of this team, then, you know, you got to show it all. You know, give the real insight of what goes on. You know, we fight. Next day we come out, we're brothers. It happens. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I agree with you, though. Like, if you're going to – it's Hard Knocks. You know, it's not you know, if you want to do all other stuff, put it on YouTube. But it's Hard Knocks.
Yeah. No, it felt a little. And listen, I'm not a Hard Knocks advocate. I'm not sitting here telling you that I watch every single Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I tuned in for the Jets one when Rodgers went there just because Aaron Rodgers was there. See kind of what he was building up over there. I tuned in for the Giants one because of the Saquon Barkley story. But it just, it didn't, I don't know, it didn't grab me. It was one of those where I love the fact that the Bears are on it. I'm going to watch it because the Bears are on it. We all have problems. We're all addicts to this team, which is probably we all need to go to AA for it. But I could have show me more Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Right. Show me more. I'm not show me more Cole Kmet. Show me more. Yeah, I mean, like I'm not asking for. I need to see the behind the scenes stuff on these guys. Show me these guys on the football field doing the football things.
Right.
That's what I wanted to see.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, off the field things, you know, Cole is from here. You know, TJ Edwards is from here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is, man. I'm glad the Bears got on Hard Knocks. I'm glad the fans got, you know, more insight as opposed to what they would have gotten. And there's a lot of fans that weren't able to make it out to training camp. So they did, you know, get an inside look at this team, you know, despite not being at training camp every day or being able to attend one of the practices. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not the best Hard Knocks. It isn't the worst. But, you know, I felt like the overall product could have been a lot better if they gave us a true organic look of what of an inside look of what this team is and who this team is, who they are. You know what I mean? And missed a lot of players, like you said. So I was a little bit disappointed in that. But, hey, we'll see who gets it next year.
We'll see who gets it next year. And we'll keep you guys tuned in with everything Chicago Bears because – we got football this Sunday, J-Mac, and so yes, make sure that you guys tap in on the next episode, which will also be dropping today, because we're going to be giving our biggest things that we need to see from the Chicago Bears as soon as they hit the ground versus the Tennessee Titans. Got to hit the ground running because, as J-Mac said in his Southside voice, hey, you got Caleb Williams in there. They're not going
to – come on, you can't be Cubby Bears.
Caleb Williams in there. You got to make a play. Come on, let's get after it.
Teddy Bears.
We're more New York. We're more New York.
We're Dub Bears, not Teddy Bears.
Dub Bears. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. One love.